Beloved radio friends, let us continue our meditation on that blessed incomparable verse of John chapter 3 and verse 16. We never tire to tell those words and quote them again. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. In brief 25 words, the fullness of God's love is declared by the wonderful Son of God Himself, who alone could fully declare it. We have noted, first of all, in our preceding message, the unworthy object of God's love, the world of mankind. Not one person, great or small, has been omitted, regardless of the race, color, creed, moral, immoral, rich, poor, educated, illiterate, young or old. God declares He loves everyone. Although by nature and by practice every one of us, each one of us, can say, I'm a guilty, condemned sinner. But may I again emphasize the fact, God loves sinners, but He hates their sins. You may rightly ask why. Oh, but may I suggest this explanation? The one who says He loves us, it is the greatest person who could ever stoop the lowest to love such creatures as we are. And God is that blessed one. His love is not limited by distance, nor by time, nor by space. And neither, thank God, it is not limited by the condition of the human race. All unworthy objects as we are, though degraded by sin, and all unworthy of His love. But oh, may I go on to state, the love of God has been proved by the next statement in our verse. He gave His only begotten Son. In these words we have the magnitude of that greatest of all sacrifices God made for us to prove His love. May I repeat these words in substance, and may you take them in, my friend. The greatest love, wherever it comes from whomsoever it may come, the greatest love can only be measured by the immensity of the gift. And when God exhibited, when He extended and declared His love, what was the gift that He sent? Did He choose to send a creature? Never. Did He even send an angel? Surely there was Gabriel. There was Michael the archangel, the mighty and great princes among the heavenly hosts. These two great angels that often appeared in some Old Testament times, as well as in New Testament times. But no, He did not send them. Neither did He send a battalion of angels. He sent one who was the nearest, who was the dearest to His own heart, His well-beloved Son. That blessed Son of God was dearer to Him than even Isaac was to his father Abraham. Oh, may I bring before your heart and mind the words of John in the first epistle of his letter, chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son the propitiation, the one meaning to meet the need of our sins. Now let me ask a question, my friend. If you were to be asked, how do you know that God loves you? You might give a variety of answers. You might even tell of some special circumstance in your life which you believe proved the evidence of God's love towards you. But, my beloved friend, let me state firmly, there is only one satisfactory evidence for me to know, to prove conclusively, God loves me, and that God loves you. And this evidence is unfailing, it is complete, it is the sacrifice, the great atoning sacrifice of God's beloved Son, whom He sent to the cross of Calvary. Let me read the words of John again. God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. For herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son. Why? To be the propitiation. The word means to meet the need of our sins. And that brings to us the magnitude of the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross of Calvary. Oh, my beloved, you may be able to relate some special experience which God may have shown to you, a token of His favor. But let me reemphasize again, there is only one absolute, perfect, undeniable evidence for your soul and heart and mind to take in, proving that God loves me and that He loves you. It is the death of Christ upon the cross of Calvary. Listen to the inspired words of Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us. Note it. God is able to commend His own love toward us. Why? Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God did not wait for us to change from sinners to saints before He loved us. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, my beloved, let me repeat what we have stated before. That blessed statement of fact. The greatest love must be revealed, and it is revealed, by the immensity of its gifts. You remember that John the Baptist said these words as he looked upon Christ. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, in John 1 verse 29. Oh, my beloved, yes. That love can only be measured by the length, by the extent of the sacrifice that was made for the object that was loved. My beloved friend, let me say, if you are not saved, I can say on the affirmative declaration of the Word of God, God loved you so much that for you He gave His only begotten Son Himself to pay the penalty of your sins, that through that blessed Son you may be forgiven. For John 3:16 certainly reveals it. How great it is as we read the words, so that you can recognize, and so then I can recognize, God loves the world of sinners lost. And may I emphasize, to know and to be sure, without one doubt, can you say, will you say, thank God I can, I know that God loves me. And I know that God loves you. Now, my beloved friend, I don't know anything about you, perhaps. I may never see you face to face. But upon the authority of the Word of God and from the lips of the Son of God, I know God loves you. I don't know what kind of a sinner you are, great or small. But the magnitude of the sacrifice that God gave to rescue your soul and mine from hell upon the cross of Calvary proves God loves you and me. My beloved, can you be surprised, and can I ever be surprised, by the words that Paul wrote? And we quote them from 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. Listen to them. When Paul said from the depths of his heart without any doubt, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gifts." May I quote the words again from another translation I do admire? "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable free gift." There are no words in the human vocabulary that can ever evaluate and describe the value of this great gift, God's only begotten Son. And take the truth in, my beloved listener. God so loved the world that he gave, he did not hold back. He gave his only begotten Son. One well wrote, "Was there a gift like the Savior given?" And the answer is given. No, not one. No, not one. Will he refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one. No, not one. Oh, my beloved friend, whether you are saved or whether you are not saved, may I at this very moment ask, shall not you and I look at Calvary? There go back, and by faith see upon the cross of Calvary God's eternal, beloved Son bearing the penalty for your sin and mine, and doing it all alone. That is the magnitude of God's great sacrifice to prove his love for you and for me, to save us. May God, by the Holy Spirit, help us each one to be able to say with the beloved Apostle Paul from Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, "The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me." Thank God for the immensity of the gift, proving by the magnitude of his sacrifice, God loves you, my friend, and God loves me. Oh, Father, write it indelibly in the power of the Holy Spirit with conviction in every heart. We are loved by thee in Jesus' name. Amen.